I lived as a single guy for quite some time, and for the age, up to the age of 30. Most of my lives, I grew up in summer camps and ate summer food, and since I left home. And when I went to college, I was in the food plan, so I didn't have to worry a thing about food or cooking. I mean, meals always provided, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Sometimes they're all the same food. It's just circling around. You know, if you've been to college or camps, you just see the same food, the same meat. And it's just different from sometimes in the food form of sandwiches or a different menu. And then finally, when they don't make it up, last so long, they just made up to be kind of end up in the soup, right? But I enjoyed living those lives. I didn't have to worry about my daily food. But when I graduated from college, I was in trouble. Eating every day, it wasn't impossible. So I asked my friends around, how could I ever get through life? And they gave me the greatest Christmas gift, the greatest Christmas gift, which is the crock pot. Y'all know that, right? What's crock pot? And I was so excited because they told me all about what the crock pot could do. And then all they told me is, I don't have to be a chef and learn anything. Just throw everything in and it will cook by itself. And I took that literally, all right? So I went grocery shopping and I threw everything in. And I was destroyed. As they said, after leaving the house and coming back after 9 or 10 hours, I knew that my house will smell like a wonderful home and inviting, and I would have a wonderful meal. And I daydream all day about what this new crock pot will provide. And so the first day I finally came home, and to my surprise, I did not smell a thing. And I said, this has got to be a magic food. A magic crock pot. And so I opened the door and tried to go into my kitchen and look at located the crock pot. And the crock pot stood still, and I kind of was amazed. I'm like, this has got to be a brand new type of crock pot, because I couldn't feel a thing as I touched the pot. And once I looked in, the meat, the potato, everything was just brand new, just as I put them in. And I was so ticked. Because I was so hungry, I was ready to eat. I'm like, I'm not going to eat raw steak. I know I've seen people just eat with everything on and the skins and everything, but I'm not going to do it. But I was thinking, how come this crock pot didn't cook? You know what I forgot to do that day? You all figure that out, right? I didn't hook up. I didn't connect the power cord to the plug. And I didn't turn the thing on. Obviously, I couldn't turn on. Even if turned on, it would not work. So, I went hungry that day, and I learned in a new, exciting way how not to use a crock pot. Now, I share that story mainly because sometimes we do things in life and to forget the most important things. And in this text of Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, go on study this morning, that Paul is talking about addressing the church, the Christian church in Rome, about the greatest theme of his letter, the heart of biblical religion. If we say that we have faith, there's got to be something that moves our faith, something that the force that support that faith, and there has to be a power. And so Paul described that in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. And he said this. He said, for I am not ashamed. Paul is not saying, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, that this is the most important part of his letter. This is it. This is why he wrote a letter to Rome and to encourage them, to strengthen the Christians, and also to bring about what's most important. And right here, and we learn in verse 16, for he is not, Paul is not ashamed of the gospel, because it is, hear this out, it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. If you want to follow the sermon right along, we provide another insert in your bulletin. It's the green color right there. So we're going to go through a few key points in which we can better understand what Paul is talking about here. What power? What power? What salvation? Well, those are the key words. What is that what Paul wants us to know through these two verses? And first, Paul claims that no one is righteous before God. No one is righteous before God. The Jews and the Gentiles are all the same, and they are all under the power of sins, the power of God's judgment, God's wrath, that we all are the same, rich, poor, weak, strong, young and old. In Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and on, and he said this, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, and there is no one who seeks God. All have turned away, they have together become worthless. There is no one who does God, not even one. Their throats are open graves, and their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, what Paul is saying here is that all of us are hopeless. All of us are under the same power of sin. And that's a very bad news. And we can't help ourselves. We can't come out of that. But what this news, what this gospel that Paul's talking about is so powerful, it is the power of God, is that when we are so helpless, when we can't do anything, God provided a way for us. The salvation for everyone who believes. As Paul described all these things, the wickedness of mankind, where we are so hopeless, where it's impossible, that God gave us, the power of God gave us, that brings salvation for everyone who believes. So that is a wonderful news, because we know that no one is righteous. And yet, God gave us this salvation by the power of God. And if we know about it just by our head knowledge, that would not do anything good. Because knowing righteousness means nothing if we don't have it. So what does God do? Realizing that we are all sinful and we are not hopeless, he provided a way for us, that it is the salvation of God to everyone who believes. So not only we know that we need righteousness, salvation, God gives us his righteousness. So the second point from this sermon note, you want to follow, is that no one is righteous. And the second point is that a righteousness from God is now given to us. Can we say amen to that? A righteousness from God is given to us. How so? A righteousness from God is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God gave us this righteousness of Christ apart from any work, any need for us to work from our part. Because Jesus Christ, in John chapter 1, verse 17 to 18, that he made God known to us, because he had a perfect relationship with God. So Jesus Christ made God known to us, because only the one who has a perfect relationship with God could reveal God to us. And that's what Jesus did. A righteousness from God is a righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one who always obeyed, who always do what pleases God. You and I can't do that at all in our own strength, our own mind. And the other day, I was at a public place, and I talked to this young man who was preparing to be a medical student. And he saw my Bible. He asked me these questions about religions. And he said he studied religions, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhism. And he said, aren't all religions are the same? Don't they tell the same truth? And don't they say teach of morality? And it's all about morality to him. The most important is to live a good life and to do the right thing, and that finally you get to know God and you go to heaven. That's in his mind, because all religion seems to teach that, he said. So doesn't it just all about Jesus' teaching? It's all about morality. But men and women, we have to ask these questions. Can anyone truly, perfectly always do what pleases God? No one. Can anyone be proven not guilty without sin? Not one. Not a single person. So only Jesus Christ in John chapter 8 verse 46, he asked this question, can anyone prove me guilty of sin? The answer is no. No and no. Jesus is the perfect, sinless human being. And so he even went down to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. And so John asked him, why do you do this, Lord? He's the Savior. He's the King of Kings. He's God. Why does he need to be baptized? And he said, in following the righteousness of God, he said, to fulfill all righteousness, even the Son of God, obey God. It's a perfect, perfect human being. So God offered the righteousness of Christ to us. He gave. It's a gift. Apart from any need of work from our part. We may try to get that righteousness like this young man I talked about. I mean, you try to live a holy life, but you will break. You will break, and you will be broken by God's laws, God's commands, because we cannot see God by obeying the law. But the good news is this, that God made it possible by giving us his righteousness to us. How did he do that? Imagine that your bank account is empty and you absolutely have $0 in account, and someone came in to your bank account or get into your bank account in the right way. I don't know how that is, but the right way. And put all the money that you would possibly want for the rest of your life and more to eternity. We say hallelujah to that, right? Wouldn't that be nice? But precisely, that is what God did for us. Well, we are hopeless, morally bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt. We have no other way that we can't save ourselves. Jesus became the incarnation. Jesus became what we are. Jesus became what we are and who we are, so that you and I will become who he is, the righteousness of God. Wow, that is available. It's given to you and I. So how do we attain that righteousness? And that is on the second, last point of the second point, the F. Faith is the channel by which sinners receive Christ's righteousness. Only through faith. Faith is the channel by which sinners receive Christ's righteousness. Now, we all have faith. We all have faith that you all believe today that I will finish the sermon in a few minutes. You have faith that, right? I hope you do have that faith. That this service will be over in the next few minutes. No, you come in faith. You don't know that, but you believe that. We all faith that after service you will go home, that your cars will work fine, and you will, when you start the engine, it will start, and when you stop the red light, the brake will stop. I mean, we have faith. We don't know that. We all have faith. But we all can put faith in the wrong places. But when it comes to receiving righteousness from God, to be right with God, to be acceptable by God, as we baptize Daddy Kate Carter and we receive members, you see, it's none of our doing. It is God's drawing us, His grace, His love, His mercy. It's a gift. But righteousness, particularly, to be right with God, to be declared, it's said, the judge shall live by faith, the last verse, which is the righteous shall live by faith. Faith. We will study that Father Lamb in the next few weeks alone on this term. Justification by faith is a very confusing, a very difficult term to understand. The righteous will live by faith. In some translation, it is the word just, justification by faith. That justification, being justified, to be right with God, being justified doesn't mean that God said all that we were before Christ, all that we did, our sins, our wicked ways, God is saying, no, you're right in doing that. He wasn't approving what we've done, or he didn't say to us that we were right in doing those things. Rather, justification by faith, that the righteousness we receive, that we live by faith, the righteous will live by faith, that justification, being justified, means that God no longer look at all of us as people to be punished. God no longer see us as people to be condemned. Hear this out. Justification by faith, that the righteous will live by faith, means that now God sees us because of Jesus Christ, what He did, His atoning death, and His completed work on the cross. Now Christ, God sees all of us, all of you, when you put your faith in Christ. He sees you now as people to be loved. Can we say amen to that? Amen. God doesn't see you no longer as people to be punished, that's all. He sees you just as you never sinned. That's the good news. That's why Paul said it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone. Because at the time, I have to quit right here. But we will continue next week. Praise be to God. God sees you now as no one to be punished. No, not a people to be punished, but people to be loved. Thanks be to God. Amen.